Lord put it on my heart to share some of our testimony today. And I want to start. Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 3. 2 Kings chapter 3. Beginning in verse 9, and I'm just going to sum up a little story in this Old Testament here. Praise the Lord. 2 Kings 3, this was the time when the nation of Israel was already divided, Israel to the north, Judah to the south. If you go through the book of Kings and Chronicles, you'll see a whole list in times of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah and what happened during their time. It's interesting to note that most of the kings and most of the kings of Israel and Judah were wicked men. We think of Israel as the people of God, that they were all holy following God. They weren't. They were covenant people with God. They were the people of God. They had the law, but their heart had turned after they received the promised land. They got involved in the things of the world, and they turned away, many of them. And it's a story of sometimes a king rising up and turning the country back around. Well, here, Israel and Judah, Moab, the nation of Moab had revolted, and they decided they needed to go to war. And the king of Israel asked the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, to go with him. And he said, yes, we are one people, we'll do it. So they set out to fight the Moabites. You got that? Israel and Judah together to fight the Moabites. I'm going to pick up the story in verse 9. So the king of Israel set out with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. And after a roundabout march of 7 days, the army had no more water for themselves or for the animals with them. What? Exclaimed the king of Israel. Has the Lord called us three kings together only to hand us over to Moab? But Jehoshaphat asked, is there no prophet of the Lord here where we may inquire of the Lord through him? Now picture this. This is an army going a long distance into a battle. They have to bring flocks. They have to bring food and water and stuff to feed their team, to feed their army. It's a big ordeal to go into a battle like that. And they've run out of water and they're about to face the enemy. They're going to get killed. They're going to die. You can't run out of water right before you're going to face the enemy. The whole army is there. And so they begin to cry out. And Jehovah, is there a prophet of the Lord here? In those days, Jesus hadn't redeemed us and made us right with God. So they had to go to God and ask God through a prophet to speak to them. They didn't have a personal relationship with God. They had to go to hear the word from a prophet or go and make offerings to God through a priest. So the priest would go to God for them and the prophet would go to them from God and give a word. So they're asking, is there a prophet around? And they answer, yes, Elisha is here. Okay. An officer of the king of Israel answered, Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. Man, everybody still knew about Elijah. And they're saying, Elisha, the one who trained with him, is here. I said, okay, let's go to him. All right. Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king is of Israel. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to him. Elijah said to the king of Israel, what do we have to do with each other? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. See, Elisha was rebuking the king of Israel. He said, you're an evil dude. You've been serving false prophets. You've been serving the world. You don't even deal with the true God, Jehovah, anymore. What have I to have to do with you? You know? What's going on? Why are you coming to me? Why don't you go to your prophets? Okay? You're worldly anyway. Go get your help from them. He's given him a rebuke. And no, the king of Israel answered, because it is the Lord, it's your God, it's the Lord, the anointed one, who called us together to hand us over to Moab. Elisha said, as surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, if I did not have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not even look at you or notice you. But now bring me a harpist. So he said, okay, king of Israel, because Jehoshaphat is here and he honors the Lord, I'll go ahead and take your request. Bring me a harpist. I need some worship music. Amen? I'm glad for our praise team, man. Amen. See, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. That's why churches like to start off with praise and worship. That's why I like to encourage you. Man, you want to hear from the Word? You want to hear from the Lord? Start worshiping a little bit, okay? You're in a trial, in a situation, begin to worship. Sing praises, amen? Start worshiping the Lord. Sing some praises. Get the presence of the Lord around you. Then talk to Him. He'll talk to you, okay? Amen? But come into His gates with thanksgiving. Come into His courts with praise. All right? Now you're in His presence. Hallelujah. Now speak with Him, okay? So He says, bring me a harpist. Praise God. Amen. Now let's see. Where am I? Okay, 15. All right. Bring me a harpist. While the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha, and he said, this is what the Lord says. Make this valley full of ditches. For this is what the Lord says. You will see neither wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water. And you and your cattle and the other animals will drink. It is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. He will also hand Moab over to you. Praise the Lord. Okay? So he's saying, here's what we're going to do. You're out here about to get slaughtered because you don't have the supply you need. You're not prepared. All right? You're asking me for help. He said, I'm going to help you, but I want you to do something. I want you to fill this valley full of ditches. Now, guys, this army's tired. They're thirsty. They're without water. It looks like they need to turn and go home and not fight. They go to the prophet. The prophet says, start digging ditches. Okay? What would you do? What? I'm out here. It's hot. We're thirsty. Our animals, and you want us to start digging ditches? But nevertheless, they heard the word, they believed, and they started digging ditches. Picture that. You're in a valley, you have to dig trenches. You have to work hard. Everybody getting together, taking shovels, digging, and getting things ready. Now, praise the Lord. The Bible says in verse 20, the next morning, about the time of the offering sacrifice, there it was, water flowing from the direction of Edom, and the land was filled with water. Somehow that reminds me of the Brother, Where Art Thou movie. You know, when all the water came rushing in? This didn't come from a rain. It didn't come from a spring. It just came, the hand of God just sent it. Whoosh, and the water came, and it filled all the ditches. I just wanted to say that to say this, and my wife made me think of this. You know, preparation sometimes precedes the blessing. God wanted to bless them. He wanted to meet their need, but they had to prepare. If they didn't dig the ditches, the water wouldn't have come. Hello? Guys, some of you, God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you, as Matt's saying, in order to be a blessing. This church is a blessing to the nations. We've tapped into that spiritual flow. Hey, Dr. Brassfield comes here, and he said this to us last time he was here. Because, you know, we give a report on our finances and things. He said, in all my years, and he deals with hundreds of churches, he said, I've never seen a church do what y'all are doing as far as financially, how we're blessing locally and the nations. Well, God put that on our heart years ago. Amen. When you start financing His harvest, He'll finance yours. Amen? Because He gives seed, as Matt said, seed to the sower to sow that it might multiply a harvest. Amen? So we started doing that. Folks, He wants to bless you. But sometimes there's some preparation. God's telling you, hey, go back to school. You never finished high school? Get your GED. You've been scared of going to college? Do what you got to do. He wants to, you don't have a good job here? Looking to see where I'm going to bless you with your next one. Get yourself prepared. God wants to bless you. Yeah. Amen. 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 They didn't just wait and pray for the water. They prayed for something. God gave them an answer that I'm going to give you water, but here's what I want you to do. Dig the ditch. Get yourself ready for the blessing. No ditch, no water. Hello? So So I mean, you got to prepare yourself. He wants to do things. He's given increase. I'm telling you, we are in a time of the expansion of the harvest of the nations for God's kingdom. As Matt was saying, the funds is not about funds. The funds is about people to get for the harvest. That's what it's about. That's what we're about. We share the heart of God and God blesses us. Hallelujah. And we want you to walk in it too. You can have this blessing corporately as a church just because you're coming here, but he wants to be more than that. He wants to bless you individually as a family and a home for not only you, but for your children and your children's children. Get involved in this divine flow. It's for his harvest. I got a couple of claps on that is all. Hallelujah. Hey. Fresh start. We're teaching you this. Third phase, start sowing in when you get a job. But when you leave here, get involved in a church that's doing something to the nations. Get involved in a church that's sowing. Don't go somewhere that's not given extravagantly to the harvest of the nations. Nobody said anything on that. That's the word of the Lord. It's happening, and it's happening here. See, you go to heaven by what Christ has done, but you will be rewarded for what you have done. That's word. And your time to do it is now in this life. Some of you got 10 years left, some of you got 5, some of you got 20, I don't know. Get involved, man. It's amazing. It's a blessing. Praise the Lord. We're seeing this happen. In India, we got plans to help what's going on in Uganda multiply. It's amazing. Wow. It got warm in here all of a sudden. Check on that, Jeff. Right in here. Praise the Lord. Amen. But I want to tell you, preparation precedes the blessing. In order for Faye to get the desire of her heart for that oil job, she had to be prepared for it. Her education, she had to be ready, she had to be willing, she had to pursue, she had to go do the stuff they're asking her to do. You have to do something. Amen? You be led of the Lord. He wants to bless and he wants to move you and get you ready for what he wants to do next. Obey him in this part so you'll be ready for what he wants to do here. Amen? So everything we do for the nations, it doesn't hinder what we're doing locally. It blesses what we're doing locally. Look, we're building a brand new $300,000 youth center to bless our youth. Giving to the nations doesn't hinder that work. It speeds up that work. You hear me? It's amazing. And we take care of our own. Okay. Praise the Lord. Where'd Kylie go? Got your family with you? The family's in a struggle right now. Her husband Justin's fighting a battle with an illness. We're praying and believing for them, but they're having to spend a lot of time in Shreveport. We wanted to sow into that. I've got another check for you today from this congregation, from people, just to bless you and to help you with what you're going through, because we are part of your family. We love you guys. Bless her daughter and her people, you know. So guys, I'm saying what we do to the nations doesn't hinder us from blessing our people. It overflows to help us bless our people more. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Preparation precedes the blessing. Well, the ditches got filled. They watered, they drank, they fed their animals. And when they're going into battle, the other team comes and they look. And the glare from the sun shining on the water reflected back and looked like blood. They said, oh, man, they must have slaughtered each other. They started running in unprepared, and Israel slaughtered them and won the battle. Amen? God wants to bless you, and he wants to give you victory over your enemies, which is, praise God. Real quick, I'm going to share a short testimony. Sometimes the things we share, you know, the Bible says, Revelations 12, they overcame him, the enemy, who is in a fury and a rage, mad at the woman, Israel, and the man-child, Jesus, and those who follow him and wanting to kill us. But we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, for which we're saved. See? By his blood, all my sins are forgiven. So Satan has no hold to accuse me. Amen? Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He tries to hinder you of accusing you of your shortcomings and your faults, but he can't get to me. The blood. In other words, shut up, Satan. Talk to the hand, you know. Talk to the blood, you know. That word can't get to me. Talk to the blood, all right? The blood has washed my sin yesterday, today, forever. So Satan can't accuse me of anything. So I overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony of what Christ has done for me, even though I still might be weak in some areas and learning in this area and growing in that. It's a settled deal that the blood has cleansed me and saved me. So Satan, you can't have me or hinder me in Jesus' name. Amen. So we overcome. So it is a good thing, amen, it's a good thing, praise the Lord, to speak your testimony. Man, folks might argue doctrine with you. Well, what are they teaching at that River of Life Church? Well, I think this. Well, you think that. Man, they might argue doctrine with you, but they can't argue what Christ has done for you. Speak your testimony. Tell someone, amen. It's part of our program, and they get to get into third phase. They got to write their testimony. You got to have a testimony, or you can't move into third phase. You got to, you know, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. A little bit of my testimony. I grew up in Metairie, Louisiana, down there by New Orleans. My dad grew up in the downtown New Orleans area, went to Warren Easton High School. He was an athlete, played left tailback. They won the state championship. I believe they played against and beat Billy Cannon's team. Some of you might remember him. Amen. He went on down to, in the state, after state championship, they went to Florida. And he played at Seabreeze High School in an exhibition game. This was back in the 50s. And I was playing soccer later at that high school. And my dad was looking around. And he said, you know what, son? I played here many years ago. Amen? So he grew up there. And my mom grew up a country girl in Bordelonville, Louisiana, picking cotton with a sack. Okay? You know? Folks don't know this. A lot of folks just think that was just slaves and black folks. No, no, no. A lot of white folks pick cotton. All around here. A lot of these grandmothers right around here to pick cotton, haul in a sack. My mother did. Anyway, praise God, she ended up, my mom and dad were Catholic, like most everybody from Baton Rouge South back then. Okay? They were good Catholics. Didn't believe in birth control. We had 10 kids. The Catholic neighbors across the street had 9. Buddy, we had a party every day, just like camp growing up. In my home growing up, there was 4 boys in one room in a bunk beds and 4 in another room in bunk beds and 2 girls in one and mom and dad the other. I grew up in camp, okay? Big pots of beans and rice all the time, you know? It was fun. Mom had 2 girls and had 4 boys, then had a set of twins. And then a year and a half later, had another set of twins. Yeah, she birthed them all. Little bitty lady. Amazing. Anyway, growing up Catholic, my father did the best he could with what he had. He tried to be a good Catholic. He joined the church. He took us regularly. He became, you know, one of the lay speakers where they do one of the readings. He got trained to give the Holy Communion. I became an altar boy with my brother and some others where you wear the robe and you carry the cross. And when they lift up the host and the wine, you ring the bell. Ding-a-ding-a-ding. Okay. Anybody with Catholic background? You know what I'm talking about. I was raised in all of that. In second grade, you had your first Holy Communion, where you received the first time you can receive the communion. I didn't understand it all, but I looked in the little book they gave me with the rosary on one side and the picture of the cross or another, and somehow, some way, that picture of Jesus on the cross touched me. If I look back and think of my life, I didn't know it then. But if I look back, way back then, as a little second grade Catholic, I believe God touched my heart. Because I was looking at that picture, I believed what I saw, that this man Jesus died on the cross. Okay? I don't agree with Catholicism and a lot of things they teach, but I tell you that, they do believe Jesus died and rose again, and as a second grade boy, I believed it. I didn't live it after that, I didn't know enough, but looking back, God touched me then. Okay, and had a call on my life. Grew up when my father got transferred in his business as a salesman to Orlando, Florida, moved the whole family there. He was doing the best he can with what he had. He was teaching. We got involved in a Catholic church there, progressive Catholic church. They were singing with a guitar, playing a little praise. It was controversial back then. Anyway, he was teaching my teenage sister's catechism class and like they were teenagers. I was maybe 11, 12. And a boy in that class at our home told the testimony of going to a revival at a church where a man got healed out of a wheelchair. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my father, and he was very curious, like, what? And he was so curious, the boy said, well, we want you to go, and why don't we want to invite the whole class? So my dad went to the priest and asked permission to take the class to this revival, which was the right thing to do under a submission and authority to the leader. Well, this priest said, okay. So he went. When he went, he got to his church that was playing contemporary worship music back in the 70s, okay? And the presence of God was there, people clapping and singing, something he's never seen before, the word going out in strength, things happening, and God touched my dad to show him a deeper way other than religion. And you know what? He never went back. Started taking us all to a Calvary Assembly, a big church in Orlando. We started learning and growing the truth of the word. Then a young man named Benny Hinn was planting a church in that area, and he was doing miracle crusades once a month and stuff. We started going to that church, and as a young man in high school, started going to Benny Hinn's church, having leaders from around the kingdom of God, around the world. John Bevere was there. R.W. Shambach preached there. I got to hear so much word in high school. It was amazing. But yet, I believed and had a call in my life, but I wasn't personally following it daily. It was the 70s. My high school buddies, you know, weren't into all of that. We were playing soccer, going to the beach when the waves were nice and it was a sunny day instead of school, stuff like that. And anyway, but those eight boys, got involved in soccer, my dad was all in because his heart was toward his children. So he left football, baseball, and got into soccer with us. Ended up, long story short, I made the Olympic development team in Florida, landed in ULM with a scholarship, NLU at the time, playing soccer. And there, I had this knowledge of the truth, Bonner. I knew God and knew, I mean, there was a time in high school and I was working in a toy packaging factory and a lot of yuck going on, and I started to speak the word, and I preached for about 10 minutes, and everybody kind of stopped and listened, and afterwards, I think I just wept. I didn't know what happened. So it was a call in my life even then, and they all freaked out. So where did that come from? You know, who are you, you know? And I've been in college still. I had this truth, but like athletes coming from out of state and stuff to a little area where everybody else went home, we ended up there on the weekends and just finding parties and things, and I got wrapped up into that party scene, knowing the whole time that Christ was with me, you know? It was weird, even sometimes after a drunken weekend or something, with a few of us left in the college hanging out in the dorm room, we would talk about deep things of God. Some of you think that might be weird, you know, you were just drunk, now you're talking about God. I'm just telling you my testimony, that's what happened, okay? But through that, I ended up meeting Faye, who was also an athlete, played college basketball at Panola Junior College, and ended up coming to Northeast, walked on and made a team when ULM was, NLU was in the top 10 in the nation, along with Tech. It was E.J. Lee at ULM and Kim Mulkey at Tech, and they would have rivals. Well, she made that team. But we started dating, you know, and not being fully committed to our walk with the Lord. She ended up in our last year. I got a phone call. I had left the college, graduated, got a job in Houston, Texas to coach soccer, and we were pregnant. And it freaked me out. I was scared. I didn't know what to do, you know. But praise God, I knew I loved her. And we got married. And now here's my testimony, how God changed my life. In Houston, Texas, living by myself, was she still up here going to school? God was speaking to me, and it was about 2:00 in the morning. I walked out to the swimming pool of the complex, of the apartment complex. I got on my knees. It was a starry night, and all that I've learned from, I lift my hands to the Lord, and I bow my head, and I said, Father, forgive me. I've known you. I've seen your truth. I've always believed it, but I haven't been living it. I said, Lord, I'm about to be a husband. I'm about to be a father. And I'm about to have a full-time job where I've just been partying and working at a school. Lord God, I recommit. I give you my life. Make you the man you want me to be. Make you the husband you want me to be. Make me the father you want me to be. And teacher, coach, whatever. And I was sincere, and he did. He changed my life. Amen. 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 That within a week, God sent a substitute PE coach to that school that was working the office next to me, who was a strong man of God, who started speaking into my life on our breaks and discussing the word, invited me to his church. And praise the Lord, I just asked the Lord to fill me and strengthen me with his spirit, teach me the word. It started happening. And now, instead of cussing my kids at halftime, you know, I'm praying for them, speaking life into them at our soccer and growing. And it just worked out. Now, 3 years into teaching and coaching, my wife finished school here, moved back down there. David John was a baby. David John, who's planting a church now in Clearwater. Amen. He was a baby. Okay, so there we are. My wife comes to my father, who led us to the Lord. My father, who, as he went from Catholicism into this, started really growing fast and led us all to the Lord. He's dying with bone cancer. It's ripping me up. I'm 3 years into coaching. Faye comes to me and says, David, I mean, just love, just sacrifice for, do you want to go? Do you want to go to where your father is? Do you want to move? I said, yes. We finished out the semester, finished out coaching that season, left in January, moved to Florida without a job, without knowing we're going to rent a house. And I was there for my father as he was dying with bone cancer. Went to a miracle crusade with Benny Hinn's church. He was starting to do a once a month miracle service on Saturday nights. He had prophesied when he closed his eyes in a Sunday service. I close my eyes and all I can see is people as far as the eyes can see. 20 years later, he's in Brazil and Africa and here and there. And as far as the eyes can see, there's a million people. So he had this in him way back then. And so it's a Saturday night before the first Sunday once a month miracle services. I'm at the front weeping, praying for my father. He hands me the microphone. He says, pray, young man. I began to pray. And he said, take this young man over there and pray him through. You know, so they took me off to the corner and they're all praying in tongues and praying for me. All of a sudden, supernatural. Some of you might think I'm weird over this. That burden for my father, I felt it leave my body, come up, and go to the Lord, and I began to laugh out loud. I was on my knees crying, praying there around me, laughing out loud, so loud, I couldn't stop the laughter. Finally, I said, God, I'm okay now. You can make it stop. And they said, Benny Hinn said, what's going on over there? And they said, I think he's had a breakthrough. Although one of them might have said, I think he had a breakdown. But after that, it was weird. I knew my father was leaving, and I knew it was going to be okay. They brought him home from the hospital, put him in the hospital bed. We would visit. And one day, I'm in the room with him. He's laying there. Now he's been unconscious for 3 or 4 days. His sister, who is a nun from New Orleans, came there. The family was around in the living room and stuff. He woke up and he looked at me. And the Holy Spirit told me what's going on. I went to my family and I said, hey, come in. Dad's leaving now. He wants to say goodbye. They came in. We surrounded his bed. He looked at us and smiled. We started praying. Hallelujah. Dad, we love you. We're going to see you soon. Thank you for leading us to Christ. We've prayed together, holding hands, and he left.
It was amazing, you know? But God had healed me of that burden a few weeks before. Guys, make a long story real short. During the time my father was dying, stress, I didn't have a coaching job. I was doing a little roofing. She had found a job. My wife and I also went through a really bad marriage trouble. She's away from her family. I'm dealing with my father. I can't even tell my family we're in marriage trouble. Ended up, marriage trouble got rocky. Have a new family, struggling with different finances, trying to have a house, a little baby. It was a struggle. We fought each other to the point where she left and came here. She left and came home. I began to seek. I felt I knew enough about God and the covenant. I felt like I had failed my marriage, failed my God, failed everything. And I was crushed. I was laying on the living room floor of a house we just bought together, weeping. And the phone rang. And it was a woman trying to sell something, but she was a spirit-led Christian. And she heard my heart. And she said, I called to sell something, but I've got something to give you instead. And she began to prophesy. I'm telling you, an angel called me on the phone. God's going to use this time of your separation and strengthen you and strengthen her and put y'all back together, and he's going to bless you. I received, this is a random phone call when I'm heartbroken on my floor. I received that call, heard, got up and had a word from the Lord and knew it was going to be okay. It didn't look okay. I received papers from a lawyer, okay? It didn't look right. But all of a sudden, I put a for sale sign in my house by myself. Never bought a house before. Never sold one before. Put a for sale sign on. Within a week, it sold. I was free to go, and I knew what I had to do. And I said, hey, I'm a get a soccer job here. I'm around the beach, around my family. No, you know what? God said, I want my marriage together. I'm going to do this, put this first. And then God worked it out. Now, look, you know, with everything, I even went to Christian counseling. The counselor said, read me that surrender. Serenity prayer, think, you know, the things you can't change. I said, man, that is not scriptural, because God said things can change. He wants our marriage together, and I'm not paying you for this. I called the boss there, and he said, well, you're right. You don't have to. And I believe nothing's going to shake this. God's is a covenant. I knew the covenant. I stood on it, praise the Lord. And you know what? But I had something going for me. I'm not going to condemn anybody that's been through a divorce. I knew she loved me, and she knew I loved her. And man, when it came time for me to move, see, I was leaving my world. When I came up here the first time to play soccer at Northeast, we had never heard of Monroe, Louisiana. Okay, we thought that was the small town, not this one. Okay? But I was living to leave my world for my marriage, and she came with her family to come get me. That gave me some hope. We didn't live back together for a while, but God started putting it together. Hallelujah. And he put it together, and now three more kids, five grandchildren, and 32 years later, we're blessed and highly favored. Amen? But I wanted to say this, you in the ministry, see, he took bread, he broke it, and he gave it out. I had to be willing to die to myself in any thing. Where do I live? What do I do? What job? Lord, not my will, but yours. That was my breaking point. Not my will, but yours be done. And he said, my will is for your marriage. Amen. Left it all to do this, what he called me there. Obeyed him in this part, and then he could bless me with the next part. This. You hear? Amen. Now, for those of you who suffered through a divorce or struggle, I in no way condemning you or your problem, anything. I'm just saying, from here on out, young people, new folks, getting in a relationship, gonna get married, whatever, it's forever. The rest of your past, see, because it takes two. It takes two to make it work. Okay, I know that, all right? And sometimes, you know, God's not calling you to misery. He's called you to peace. So settle that. But from here on out, we're gonna be faithful to covenants. Amen? Amen? It's blessed. Father, thank you and praise you for how you've brought us through the word of our testimony, Lord. What you've done in my life, what you've done in our life. Lord, our marriage, our children, our grandchildren are blessed. You continue to flow in the blessing. As Matt preached, we've tapped into that tithe and that giving, Lord God, and it's overflowed to an abundance to bless the nations. Lord, I pray you bless every home, every family, every marriage here now, future relationships. Bless them in you in such a way, Lord God, that they will be a blessing to people around them and a blessing to the nations. Thank you for the heart of this church. In Jesus' name. Hey, y'all have a great day. We love you.